Earlier this week, I was reading a Bible verse, and I've probably read all of them a number of times. I know I have. But sometimes one just jumps out, you know? Like God puts an exclamation point. You ever have that experience? Somebody down your pew probably has, if you haven't. Isaiah 66, verse 2. This is the one to whom I will look, he who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. This is the one to whom I look, he who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. When somebody goes up to read a Bible verse in the front of church, do you usually tremble? Like there's that moment with Moses when he told him, Exodus 19-ish, he said, I'm going to speak to you, and this had never been done before. So he says, get everybody away, and there's going to be a mountain, and there's thunder and lightning, and cloud descends, and Moses is supposed to walk up into that because God's going to speak to him. Do you ever feel that way if you open a Bible or a devotional, that trembling at God's word? I realize one of the catches is in church, hypothetically, the longer you've been in a church, the more reverence, fear, respect, trembling you would have for the word of God. But in practice, it's usually the opposite, right? Where we say, oh, I heard that one before. I already know that one. And perhaps there's no verse that we'd probably tremble the least at as the Lord's Prayer. Somebody asked me this week what I was preaching on, and, you know, because 2 weeks ago I talked about hell, and then last week it was Job and his losing everyone and sores. So, you know, what exciting, happy Bible verse am I going to preach on this week? And I said the Lord's Prayer. And you know what they said? Oh, that's nice. Which is what you're going to say when somebody says they're going to preach about the Lord's Prayer. It's just nice. It's in a box. People know it. They can say it. It's simple. But the catch is it's one of those things that we've just read so many times, and a lot of the times not even really thinking about it, and we get to the point where we don't even tremble or revere some really powerful words. And the Lord's Prayer begins, Our Father who art in heaven, right? So we have two different images of God. We have our Father who is in heaven. So we have the image, it's probably best in Revelation 4 and 5, where there's God on the throne and there's thunder and there's lightning and there's creatures hovering saying, Holy, holy, holy are you. And there's 24 elders falling on the ground and throwing down their crowns saying, You are worthy, we are not worthy. And surrounding them are 10,000 times 10,000 angels. I had to look it up on a calculator, but that's 100 million angels around God's throne. And that's one image we have of God, ruling and going to judge all of humanity. But then he also says, Our Father. What we know about God as judge is that he's distant, he's away, and he's going to make a judgment on us, that we go one way or the other. But we also address him as Father, right? So it's not just the God on the throne image, it's also this, right? And what... How are you? Good. Are you worried about anything? Are you stressed out about anything? No? Are you worried about anything? Stressed out about anything? Come on, pick you up too, right? There's that simple trust and peace. And if she needs something, she can come to me and she knows I'll probably take care of it, right? What we know about our earthly... Okay, can we go to the back? Thank you. My prop is so much better than Ryan's fish. which he never even talked about for that matter. When you pray, do you think about God, big judge on the throne, and like an earthly father who you can go to in need and he's going to take care of you? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, right? This afternoon, the word God is going to get used a whole bunch of times. And if you have a clipboard and a pen and you keep track of how it's used, and one column is hallowed, keeping God's name holy, special, set apart, revered for only calling on God, and the other column is a curse or one of those lame prayers like, God, get him, you know, like tear his head off, right? How's God's name going to be treated? Jesus' prayer and our prayer is that it be special, that it be set apart, that it be only used in prayer and worship. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We don't have a kingdom, right? We have a republic where we elect people and they're supposed to act in our best interest, and sometimes they do and sometimes they don't, and that's just how it goes. We don't have a king, right? Somebody who, whatever he says, automatically everyone else has to do. If the king says, every day at 3 o'clock, jump on your left foot, you know, his people are supposed to do that. And that's not the way it works in our country. But the prayer is that God's kingdom come, that God's will be done, so that what God says would actually be done as quickly and obviously as the subject of a king would do whatever the king commands, right? What do you think our country would be like if the only thing that happened was what God wanted done? I mean, just imagine for a second, how would things be different if only what Jesus wanted done would be done? You wouldn't cough, right? You wouldn't lose a loved one. You wouldn't have your heart broke. You wouldn't hold a grudge against someone. There wouldn't be kids starving and old people in nursing homes unvisited. All of that, I wouldn't be here, would it? So we pray that God's kingdom come, his will be done, so that it'll be at least a little bit on earth like it is in heaven. Because in heaven, whatever God wants done is done immediately. And on earth, it takes a little bit longer. But you have an opportunity to do what God wants. Now, what comes next? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. I'm not sure how many times you've prayed that prayer, Lord's Prayer, but I'm pretty sure you've never actually meant that line. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, who in their right mind prays for bread? I might pray, give us a steak. That'd be good, at least a hamburger, but bread? It's the cheapest thing at the store. It'll kind of get your stomach to stop rumbling. But if you're panhandling in Austin, all you need is about $1.50, and you can eat as much bread as you want for 2 days. It's not that hard to get bread, right? Nobody really wants it, do they? I don't know. I don't like bread. Anyway. But this prayer is not only for bread, right? Cheapest thing at the grocery store. It's also, give us this day our daily bread. So the prayer isn't even, God, give me enough bread so that I never have to worry about going hungry. I never have to worry about my family going hungry. God, just give me enough bread so that throughout my life I stay alive and don't die of hunger. But the prayer is, give us this day our daily bread. God, I'm praying for 3 pieces of bread today. And that's it. just enough for me to get through the day. There's a Proverbs 30 verse something. Proverbs 30 verse 8. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Is that a prayer you've prayed often? God, please don't make me rich. Whatever you do, God, please don't make me rich. Because I know what happens. If I'm rich, I'm not going to need you. If I'm rich, I'm not going to have to pray for bread. I'm going to have a pantry stocked for a month, chest freezer filled for 3 months. I'm not going to need you. So the prayer is, God, please don't make me rich. Please don't make me poor. Just put me somewhere in between where I still need you. I heard of a guy the other day who is chronically sick. And he said he used to pray that he had chronic pain. He used to pray that his pain would go away because it just hurt. It just hurt horrible. But then he noticed what was going on in his life. And whenever he was in pain, he would read the Bible and he would pray and he would be really close with the Lord. And then as soon as he got healthy, he would just close the book and put it away and go on with his life and not even think about God. So eventually he got to the point where he said, God, I pray I stay sick and I stay in pain for the rest of my life. Because this is more important than being in pain. Okay. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us? Is that the next one? Okay. It's hard when you're up here trying to figure it out. Forgive us our... Is that right? No, lead us not. Which is first? Trespasses. All right, got it. 9 o'clock I did in reverse, didn't I? Okay, that's fine. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Another prayer you might have prayed 1,000 times but probably never meant. Whenever we get together here, we talk a lot about forgiveness in Jesus. The room is designed around that, right? Forgiveness in Jesus is what we come here for. But when we pray the Lord's Prayer, we pray, forgive us only as much as we forgive others. That's kind of a kick in the pants, right? God, we're here and we really need your forgiveness and we know we're desperate for it. But we pray, forgive us our trespasses only as we forgive those who trespass against us. Is that what you want? God to forgive you only as well as you can forgive those who've hurt you? Those who hurt you and they had no right to? Those who you still hold a grudge against? Those you don't speak to anymore? Those who, if you're going through the grocery store and you see them down the aisle, you'll keep going down to the freezer first and come around later because you just don't want to even walk past them? God, forgive us, but only as much as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That's not the prayer I would write. I would write, God, lead us into temptation, and when we are there, show us your power, show us how strong we can be. Lead us into temptation and let us just be awesome for you in that moment. But that's not the prayer. Why? Because God knows the human heart. He knows how weak we are. He knows how vulnerable we are. And so the prayer isn't, God, when I'm in temptation, help me get out of there. The prayer is, God, don't even let me get near temptation. Because if I'm in it, I'm going to make a mess of it. Right? This week, my our vehicle was in the shop. You got four kids. You drive a minivan, right? Which is about the least imposing vehicle there is on the street, right? Nobody worries about people in minivans. But somebody let me use their vehicle, right? And it wasn't a minivan. It was a truck. And it wasn't just like a truck. It was like a truck. You know, like when the kids got out of it, it was like jumping and dropping like 12 feet before they got to the ground sort of thing. Like it was a truck. And I haven't driven a truck since the trailer story from a couple years ago. So it was really exciting to be able to drive a truck and like kind of drive around Giddings. And there were moments where I had these flashbacks to when I was like 8 years old, and you'd see on TV those monster truck rallies, right? Where there's like the big trucks with the huge wheels, and then there's those little Honda Civics and Ford Focus or whatever, and it just, boom, you know, plows right over them, right? And so I'm coming to church in this truck, right? And I see our organist, little Mazda. I'm like, oh, wouldn't that be awesome? Just boom, right over it, right? And I'm a decent guy, right? I'm not an evil person. But God knows. No, the car's fine. Don't worry. The car's fine. But we pray, lead us not into temptation. Because we're a lot weaker than we think we are. And he knows how weak we are. And that the only way we can get through any temptation is by God just keeping us far from it. Right? And then it ends for, right? Yeah. For thine is the kingdom. It better end soon. It's almost time for lunch. For thine is the kingdom, right? For God's is the kingdom. Not mine, not yours, not ours, but his. And who has the power? His is the power. Not mine, not yours, not ours, but his. Who gets all the glory? Just him. For how long? Forever and ever. He was here long before the world was even formed. He'll be here when it's melted away and gone. And so as often as we can, we go to him in prayer. And we tremble at his word. And we go to him as our judge, but also as our father, who wants to see us through. Please rise and let us pray. Dear God, you are here and you listen to us. And wherever we are, when we pray, you listen. And you see us and you know what's best for us. And you hear our prayers at home just as well as our prayers here. And you hear the prayers of a child as well as the prayers of anybody else. And we thank you for caring enough about us to teach us how to pray. Because on our own, we wouldn't pray right. We'd pray to be rich. We'd pray for revenge on our enemies. We'd pray that we'd be comfortable and spoiled. But you know what we need. We pray that you fill us with a spirit of just coming to you like a child, having the respect to a judge, but also knowing you love us and just want us to come to you in prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.